Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Boy, is it another day, and the Trump train rolls on.
Well, thank you very much. They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. This is a big one. And they tell me, the pundits and otherwise, that there's never been one like this. There's never been anything so conclusive. This was an amazing night, an amazing day. It's been an incredible period of time in our country's history. It's been sad in so many ways, but I think it's going to be inspiring because we're going to do something that, frankly, nobody's been able to do for a long time. We've watched our country take a great beating over the last 3 years, and nobody thought a thing like this would be possible. We wouldn't have Russia attacking Ukraine. We wouldn't have Israel being attacked. Iran, as you know, was broke when I was running things. They were broke. They didn't have money for Hamas. They didn't have money for Hezbollah. We had no inflation. Inflation is destroying the middle class. It's destroying everything. Inflation, if you look back over the history, hundreds of years back, it's called a country buster. And that's what it's doing to our country. What's happened with inflation has been unbelievable. A lot of people say, a lot of experts have said, the stock market's the only thing that's doing well, and that's doing well because our poll numbers are so much higher than Joe Biden's. The worst president in the history of our country. There's never been anything like what's happening to our country. Today it was announced that 325,000 people were flown in from parts unknown. Migrants were flown in airplane, not going through borders, not going through that great Texas barrier that I was with the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, the other day, and we were looking at the job they're doing. But in the meantime, they're pouring into California and they're pouring into Arizona because those governors aren't doing anything. They're doing nothing. But today it was just announced before I came out. It was unbelievable. I said, that must be a mistake. They flew 325,000 migrants, flew them in over the borders and into our country. So that really tells you where they're coming from. They want open borders, and open borders are going to destroy our country. We need borders, and we need free and fair elections, and we don't have a country. This is an incredible group of people, so many celebrities that I'm not going to introduce any because I'm just going to get myself in trouble if I do that, because I'll leave out most of you. But this is a room chock full of incredible, talented people, like some of the guys standing right in front of me, right? Big, big futures, big, fat, beautiful futures. Oh, I'd love to be your age. I'd pay you a lot of money to be your age. But we have some tremendously talented people in this room, including tremendously talented political people that have helped me right from the beginning. We had the safest border in the history of our country. We built 571 miles of wall. We had Mexico supply us with 28,000 soldiers because we wanted them. That's why. And they said, we won't do that. I said, yes, you will. You will. And in the end, they did. It was an easy negotiation, but we had the safest border, the best numbers we've ever had, and now we have the worst numbers probably in the history of the world. It's sad to see what's happening to our cities. Our cities are being overrun with migrant crime, and that's Biden migrant crime, but it's a new category of crime, and it's violent, where they'll stand in the middle of a street and have fistfights with police officers. And if they did that in their countries from where they came, they'd be killed instantly. They wouldn't do that. So the world is laughing at us. The world is taking advantage of us. 3 years ago, we were at a level, we were energy independent. We're going to be very shortly energy dominant. And today we're getting oil from Venezuela. Can you believe it? And we're doing numbers on that oil. You know what we're doing? We're refining the oil. We have have our refinery for that oil. It's really, I call it tar. It's not oil. It's terrible. We have real stuff. But we're refining it in Houston. So for all of the environmentalists, you ought to look at that, because all of that tar is going right up into the atmosphere. You just ought to take a look. It's the only plant that can do it. We have the only plants that can take tar and make it into oil. And that's what it is. It's a shame. But we were energy independent. We were going to be energy dominant. We were going to be supplying oil to Europe, all over the world. And then a tragic thing happened during the election. It was a tragedy, because you wouldn't have, think of it, all of the problems that you have today, I don't think you would have had any of them. You'd only have success. And that's what's ultimately going to unify this country and unify this party. We have a great Republican Party with tremendous talent, and we want to have unity, and we're going to have unity, and it's going to happen very quickly.
President Trump, just a little piece of his victory speech last night at Mar-a-Lago. Bill, he was really good last night. At the time, of course, he didn't have a promise of a concession yet, so he was focused on Biden, which is good, with the assumption that Nikki Haley would eventually do the right thing, and I guess she's going to, huh?
Yeah, I guess today she's going to go ahead and throw in the towel. Because, well, look, you know, except for D.C., she really didn't win a damn thing yesterday. He took it all.
Well, she won Vermont.
So, well, you didn't let me finish. Yeah. You know, she won Vermont, or did she? Because
that's true.
The votes came from Democrats. They got a free-for-all state where, you know, everybody can vote for anybody. So, in other words, if you're a Democrat, you can vote Republican, and vice versa.
I heard it was a concerted effort too. It was a planned attack by Democrats in Vermont to when they felt like they were going to lose it to Trump, they sent more people out to vote.
Well, in Vermont and Massachusetts, they squeaked it by about 1,500, 2,500, whatever it was. It was a small amount. It was less than 4% of the vote, and that was the difference. You call that a win? No, I don't call that a win. But what did they steal? Nothing, because in Mass, they were doing the same thing, except here's the problem. He won Mass.
Yeah, he did.
Big time.
Yeah, he did. They supposedly had 15,000 registered Democrats cross over and vote for Nikki Haley in Massachusetts, and even with that
didn't
do it. Nope. You're right, Bill. I think it was a significant victory too in Massachusetts.
Oh yeah, it was about a 20% trample of her. Yeah. So she got a rear end handed to her, and I mean, and she knows too that she didn't win Vermont, and she knows that the District of Columbia is all Democrat. I mean, it's right there, the heart of D.C. Okay, even she knows that that's not a win.
Yeah,
that's not a feather in her cap.
He won Virginia, North Carolina, Alabama, Maine, Massachusetts, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Arkansas, Colorado, Minnesota, Texas, and California. California.
That was a surprise, because I thought she would have fared better there, but she even got tranced on there, because what that message is, you know, is I don't like you, Nikki. And, you know, and I'm not saying that to be mean to her, because I've had people say, Bill, I don't like you. And, you know, that's their opinion, you know, and at some point in time, and I've had a lot of people say, I don't like you, Bill. And, you know, you become... You grow your Teflon. I mean, Trump has gone through it with Democrats.
Oh,
Trump,
sure.
We don't like you.
I mean, there are people out. Did you listen to the media last night? Media last night, mainstream media. First of all, you know, people say, well, Fox is starting to come back. No, Fox will show their true colors during an election period. Last night, when Nikki Haley won Vermont, you would have thought that she won the entire Super Tuesday. They were talking about it like it was a big successful deal. And I, you know, if they bring Karl Rove out, all the time during election period. And the guy's a rhino. The guy's a rhino. He's a never-Trumper. And he comes out and he dutifully explains how Trump won. But, you know, that, and he'll say some editorial comment like, well, that's even with his nasty remarks about this and nasty. You know, hey, Carl, get off the stage, all right? You've had your 15 minutes.
But the sad truth is, with the diehard Democrats, they have been gargling the mouthwash of the left for so long, it's never Trump, and they even admit now that Biden is not a candidate, but they will vote for him in the hopes that, they just don't want Trump.
Yeah, I think.
You know, because they've been told that, and they don't care what happens or what the consequences are, and they need to step back and just put their hate for Trump over to the left, pardon the pun, on the shelf, and sit there and take a look at, okay, so if I'll do anything in the world to keep Trump out, then what are my options? And with if they took a long, hard look at the options, they would go, there are no options.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, Trump is not a good thing. He is a good thing, but you have been told he's not a good thing. And go back and look at the economy. Forget about the numbers that are being thrown out by the left. They're wrong and they're lies. Things were better. Gas was cheaper. We produced oil. You had more money in your pocket. Everything was going in the right direction, and insurmountably so. But Biden came in and dismantled it.
Haley will deliver brief remarks in the Charleston area around 10 o'clock this morning. The decision comes after her catastrophic, Tuesday, Super Tuesday performance. It says here that she's not going to. Haley will not endorse President Trump, you know, which is, I mean, listen, don't let the screen door hit you with a good Lord split you there, Nikki. She is done. And whether she endorses Trump or not is, in my opinion, it's insignificant.
What does the future hold for Nikki Haley?
I don't know. I think she's burned too many bridges. You know, a lot of people that I talked to, Trump supporters, looked at Nikki Haley, and they were smart enough to believe that even if Trump were to bow out for some reason, let's say they indicted him and he couldn't run anymore for some reason, their second choice was not Nikki Haley. She wasn't the default victor in the whole process. As far as they were concerned, she had shown her true colors. She was a liar, and she was a backstabber. She told President Trump to his face, and they have it on video. I haven't got it, but she has said on video, I would never run against President Trump. Never. And, of course, she ran against him. You know, Trump gave her the ambassadorship of the U.N., very significant position, and this is how
she squandered it for her own ego, I guess, because she had big money behind her. They finally said, "Okay, enough is enough."
Yeah.
They pulled out. Now, does she have money that she could spend? Probably, but not enough. She even did a big fundraiser, one of those dinners out in California.
Yeah,
and her reward for that was a big walloping loss. So, you know, there was no hope to go on. I mean, she probably could have hung on for another week and just hoped that there was some kind of momentum. But
you can't judge your performance by the applause in the room. Case in point, just watch The View any day, right? And you'll hear the wild applause of a crowded room of like-minded people who aren't really paying attention to politics. We'll just leave it at that. They will applaud Whoopi and all of the other characters who are on the stage, and you'll think, my God, does everybody think like that? No. Those are the small exceptions to the rule, in my opinion. So when Nikki goes to a fundraiser and it's packed with people giving her $500, you may think, wow, I got support. Look at that crowded room. No. That's not how it works. You have to look at the entire state, you know. And the fact of the matter is, everybody in the entire state who supports you might be in that room, and that's about it. you know. So I think that's what she's come to the realization. There's no path for her. She's
so
done.
She's going to end up on a, well, you know, she'll make money. She'll end up on one of the news programs as a commentator. So if she hates Trump and she wants to keep spewing her venom.
They're drawing the ink on her CNN contract right now, Bill.
You think it's CNN, or do you think Fox would be stupid enough to pick her up?
I think CNN's going to try to gobble her up, you know? I mean, she's shown herself to be a rhino, you know, and as far as they're concerned, that's good enough. Or maybe even MSNBC.
Because here's a Republican to sit there and spin it. They'll say that's their way of balanced news. But she may as well just go ahead and start buying some blue dresses because that's what she really is made of. You know, I mean, she went out in her blue jeans all the time, the same pair all the time, by the way. And,
you know,
Nikki, you have more money than that for your wardrobe.
There was one part in that little clip that we played for you that I think is going to be his theme, and that's the border. Let me play that one part.
He's the worst president in the history of our country. There's never been anything like what's happening to our country. Today it was announced that 325,000 people were flown in from parts unknown. Migrants were flown in airplane, not going through borders, not going through that great Texas barrier that I was with the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, the other day, and we were looking at the job they're doing. But in the meantime, they're pouring into California and they're pouring into Arizona because those governors aren't doing anything. They're doing nothing. But today it was just announced before I came out. It was unbelievable. I said, that must be a mistake. They flew 325,000 migrants, flew them in over the borders and into our country. So that really tells you where they're coming from. They want open borders, and open borders are going to destroy our country.
I think that's going to be his emphasis. It'll be on the, and it's affecting everybody.
Right. Well, you know, we talked about yesterday, we talked about it was 32,000 of those flights, and then all of a sudden it's 325,000. People reacted to the 32,000 saying it was treason by the Biden administration. Now it's 325,000, which means it's probably more than that. Mm. Now let's throw somebody else under the bus.
Well, I know where you're going with this, but let me just say one thing about President Trump. That is the one thing, Bill, immigration, that is touching, finally, it's touching just about everybody. People in Chicago, people in Boston, New York, Los Angeles, it's a hot button issue, and it's an issue that Biden knows he has failed on. I mean, he should have known it a year ago, but, I mean, for he and Mayorkas to go down to Brownsville last week to pretend they're doing something, you know, trying to turn around something that he caused. But you were saying, Bill, you had another thing to add about the border issue.
Right. Now, this is an old story, actually, but nobody really talks about it. And you're going, well, how do these people know how to get from A to B and get to the border and maybe even have some guides and some goods and whatnot? And I got to be careful how I traipse on this because the organization is an old organization. It's been around forever, and there is a lot of good that they do. But that doesn't mean that they are politically incorrect. The Red Cross.
Right.
They supply maps. They supply, you know, things that the people need. They supply guides from all over South America through Mexico and up to the border to get them. They're helping the influx of immigrants, illegals, they call them asylum seekers, that are going to the, or coming to our borders and getting across. Why is the Red Cross doing it? That is not their job.
Right. That's true. No, they are, are they the only ones? Then you hear about what the Catholic charities are doing. I'm Catholic, you know, but you hear them, they call them NGOs, non-governmental organizations, right? Non-governmental organizations, they
get
funding.
Where does their money come from?
They get it from us. They get it from the government. But see, but because they're not government agencies, they can break the rules that government agencies can't do by law. You know, can't. So they'll they'll help the illegals get in, and then they'll help them get to their destinations.
And, you know, they have – now, one of the things that might make you raise an eyebrow is someone like the Red Cross. They have a designation that they're a nonprofit organization. Hey, when you give to us, you're giving to a nonprofit organization. Actually, they straddle a fence where they're a for-profit organization. So there are people in there getting lots of money and doing lots of things. But, you know, like you donate blood, you know, they are, you know, this is for the good, you know, of people. And theoretically, and for the most part, is. But sometimes they sit there and they collect more than what they need. Well, what do they do with that? They, you know, like you see plasma centers that pay for blood or plasma. They get it from you for free, and they sell it for $800, $1,200 a bottle.
Yeah.
And, you know, all under the name of charity, but they're sitting there taking this money and buying maps and doing other things and fattening up their pockets. So, you know, I don't like to point fingers because, you know, what
hey,
there are other things they've done that's good.
If the shoe fits, wear it, right? Hey, before I forget, if you want to contact us, our number is 833-538-7868, 833-538-7868. Our audience seems to be growing on a daily basis, and we appreciate that. Always like to have new listeners. And if you know somebody who you think might enjoy the show, let them know about us, right? We have an email address too, right, Bill?
Yeah, mail at itsanotherday.com, mail at jimandbill.com, and jimandbill@mail.com.
Sounds good. Hey, Michelle Obama has said she is not running for president in 2024. Former First Lady's office says she's backing Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in their reelection campaign. As of Super Tuesday, Biden remains the Democratic front runner. So there you go. Michelle Obama being insistent. But, you know, I was watching.
It's kind of what she doesn't say. But I don't get it.
That's true. But I was listening to the news commentators saying, well, like you said, well, what does she really mean? She's not running for the presidency.
Right.
Is she running for the vice presidency? You know.
Yeah, it would, if they put her on the ticket, you know, somehow they find a way to realign Kamala. Because let's face it, all the Democrats want to do is get across the finish line with Joe. They think that they're going to have to use Joe. How they're going to do this, I don't know, because even the Democrats, well, the ones that I know, they say, we don't care if they have to reel them out, you know, wheel them out in a coffin. They're going to vote for him. And then that's it.
But,
now,
you know, Bill, I see a lot of Democrats saying on different news programs that they voted for Joe in 2020, but they're not doing it in 2024. So
well, those are the Democrats don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, they're and because I think that they still have a steal in place. And might be, you know, it's like trying to find where a cockroach comes from or where a mouse comes from. You know, where's that hole? Okay, we got the hole. We spotted the hole. Let's do something about it or seal it up. You know what? They're varmints. They're varmints. They got holes everywhere.
Yeah,
so,
that's
true.
Well, I think that you're right. I happen to be one of these people that I don't know whether just getting the you know, more votes than Biden is going to work again, because I think he got more votes than Biden in 2020, and look where that got him. So, I mean, and not only that, I just love how in the 3 years since that election, the left has had the ability to demonize anybody who happens to believe that the election was dishonest. You know, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Oh, you believe in that? Oh, my God. You know, well, I do. But then again, it was okay for them to believe that Trump stole 2016.
And they're still doing that. And even after the SCOTUS ruling, they're still like, well, they stole.
Yeah.
You know, come on. You know, he was never convicted and, you know, he was never charged. Well, they accused him. There's a difference.
They are getting their ducks in order, so, from what I've heard. If Trump wins the presidency, they're saying, well, there'll be riots in the street. There'll be trouble on the streets. You know what's going to happen. Well, I mean, I think the difference, and I don't think they anticipate this, but I think that See, the trouble will probably happen in the interim period between the election and the inauguration.
So, right. Now, I was just going to ask a question. Until a new president is duly sworn in, Trump wins in November. All hell breaks out, or we go to war. Who is the leader of the country then?
Run that by me again.
Okay, Trump wins the election in 2024.
Right.
Well, okay, let's say that they go ahead and say, you know what, we don't think this election is correct.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, let's say the War Powers Act has to kick in because of some kind of catastrophe, emergency, or war.
So you're saying Biden takes military control of the country?
Yeah. What would happen?
I do think that Trump would be the president-elect. You know, that's an interesting question. Could a sitting president who has lost in the election, could he postpone the inauguration of a future president? In that period between November and January, can a sitting president, because of some kind of martial law, can he postpone the inauguration for maybe a year or two?
Yeah, and what does that do to the old election? And, you know, I mean, yeah, Trump is still there standing by, but, you know, what could happen in that time? And, you know, and if he were to fall ill or die, then the vice president would take over during that time. You know,
wow,
the victory would be for naught.
You know, we kind of laugh and snicker at, the possibilities like that, but everything has... All the things that have happened in the last few years have proven that anything's a possibility. Anything.
Well, the Democrats thought they had it in 2016, and they would have never thought that happened. They had the steel in place. Hillary thought she had it. She knew she had it. She was guaranteed it was hers. Now, how could they guarantee that unless they were doing something nefarious?
See,
2020.
I think they've been messing around with elections for decades. I think they've been manipulating. I mean, we go back to, I remember being a young man and hearing the stories about how the Democrats manipulated 1960 by enlisting the Chicago mob in to have them make sure that the vote went in their direction. Let's just leave it at that, you know?
Well, maybe right now they're enlisting the border mob to ensure goes their way.
That's it, Bill. Are they going to have... Yeah, here's another question for you. If there are riots in the streets, will they be Americans rioting or will they be illegals rioting? Are we actually importing the troublemakers and the rioters right now as we speak into our country? A lot of them.
Well, 325,000 people flown in secretly under the Biden administration... Yeah. I don't care what you say. Well, there were some good people on that flight. Well, probably so. But were they all good people on that flight? Why were they done undercover? Well, we can't tell the American public we're doing.
Good point. If you have an airplane and you got, let's say, 300 people on the airplane, and if you have 250 really good people on the airplane, but 50 murderers, 50 troublemakers on the airplane, is it okay to ship that airplane in? You're shipping in 50 troublemakers or murderers. I mean,
Well, how many passengers are on a plane?
Well, I figure there's 200 on average, right? 250?
Let's say 200.
Okay.
All right. So that's 1,625 flights that they have flown in undercover. By the Biden, you and I paid for 1,625 flights.
They didn't land in Texas. You know, they landed in New York. They landed in Massachusetts. They just bypassed all of the obstructions along the way, and they probably took them to their final destination.
Well, you know, it's funny, too, because in the past 2 years, I've noticed a population change in Massachusetts. Now, I don't live in Massachusetts, but I go up there quite often to do business and visit. And the simple fact is, you know, where I was staying, you know, it was almost like You know, I woke up one morning and I was in a different country because the, you know, the dynamics of the people, the population had changed, and it was changing quite rapidly. So I, you know,
hey, you got a governor of the state, the governor of the state, Moore Healy, who is saying things like, it's time for the residents of Massachusetts, if they have a spare room, to consider taking an illegal non-citizen into their home. Welcome them into the home. Yeah, like I would welcome a stranger from another country who is here illegally into my home to endanger my family, right? But this is what they're talking about in Massachusetts. So they're up there in Massachusetts, Bill, because they feel welcomed by the officials up there. They've made it so, come on, it's okay. But, you know, it has bit Mayor Adams in New York in the derriere. That he first said, oh, we're a sanctuary city. You're always welcome in New York. New York is a place that you can come to. Well, they did. They've come to New York, and now he's saying, we can't take it anymore. Someone else has got to pick up the slack. I mean, he's singing a different tune, this guy, you know? But they're going to Massachusetts. You say it's changing the complexion? I believe that's the case because they've been flying them in.
Complexion, I think, is the dynamics of the population because
I don't
want to be
the complexion of the state. I'm not talking about the pigmentation, the complexion of the people. I'm not talking about they're changing from Irish and African American and Portuguese and French to the word is being used to describe the population complexion, not the complexion of individual people. You know.
Yeah. Now, you know, for people that, because there is a conservative movement going on in the United States, even up in Canada, I was seeing the story of a guy, Jamel is his last name, who won last week in his election in a Democratic stronghold. And there's a chance that Trudeau is going to be out in the year to come, too. And a conservative will replace him because people are fed up. But this guy that won is a guy that's an attorney. He's young, about 36, came up through the School of Hard Knocks. And he's going, he goes, I live in an apartment in this little town. And it's not because I want to live in an apartment, because I can't afford housing here. Well, that's going on here in the United States, too, where things are priced out. The American dream is gone, and there is a conservative movement. All I can say is, you know, pendulum swing to the left and right. When you have that power again, don't fall victim to, you know, sins of the past.
Yeah. Interesting thing yesterday, or actually it was the day before yesterday, Elon Musk, he visited with President Trump in Mar-a-Lago. They had a secretive kind of a meeting. So there's speculation that Musk may be throwing his support to Trump. It wouldn't surprise me because, you know, he also said he had a dire warning for America following the news of the Biden regime secretly flying in those 320,000 people. He says, we're moving in terrorists into our country. Trust me.
Yeah.
Musk is he's very open about it.
Now, Musk, he can't run for vice president or president. He's Congress, Senate, or the president changes a little part of the Constitution. That does change it quite drastically. But, you know, he can throw support to someone else. He can also sit there and probably run for some kind of cabinet position or be appointed. And you know, now that could be interesting. You know, he doesn't need the money either, and he could be appointed to a cabinet position, at which point in time maybe a little change in the Constitution is forthcoming. And does that help just him, or does it help the Democrats too? It could help a lot.
What would you think of Elon Musk being Secretary of State? You know, that would be like the third most powerful position, you know, in our government.
Well, I mean, what would he do? What would he do for business of this country?
If he were like Commerce Secretary, he'd do a lot, I think. I mean, he's a guy who came to this country and has made billions. So, yeah.
Yeah, he could do it, but Secretary of State. Yeah, there's a lot of positions that he could go into. Is that his game or his goal? I don't know that he's got his goal is just to be Elon Musk. His game is to be Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Is there a political ulterior motive? Probably not, you know, because, you know, a couple of years ago, you would have said he was a lefty, you know, but.
Hey, Bill, a few years ago, you would have said Trump was a lefty, you know.
But they got conservative values, and a lot of people sit there. There are people. Well, look at the mayor of Dallas, who's a Democrat, who said, "I'm done, I'm a Republican now." And they got to him and they said, "Why did you change from Democrat to Republican?" Uh-huh. He goes, "Because of how I was raised and my values, and the Democratic Party abandoned those values, So I had no choice but to become a Republican."
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are reconsidering their party affiliation because of where the Democrats have moved. They have a position on abortion, for example, that they stand by, even after the Roe versus Wade decision that the Supreme Court issued a few months ago.
Does the whole party feel that way, or is it a faction of it?
No, it seems it's the party. Well, you had Jill Biden and Kamala Harris just this past week doing this speaking in front of large groups about the travesty of the Supreme Court decision.
Are they fundamental O-line Democrats, or are they socialist and...
I think they're both.
Okay, if they're socialist, because Bernie Sanders, he's a socialist. And he goes, "Well, you can't form a socialist party. We're not big enough." So the thing is to... You know, apply, occupy, and take over a party.
Yeah.
So that's what the socialists are doing. Because they know they can't do it on their own. But they need to, the AOCs and the Bernies need to just say, "You know what, we're going to build this. And if our country wants to go over that way, then it's that stupid, go ahead." But right now, what they're doing is dishonest. And they need to go and just do their own thing. And the rhinos... In the Republican Party, they need to take off their Republican clothes and do their own thing, you know.
Merrick Garland was speaking a couple of days ago about all the good things that the Democrats are going to do to reform the election process. For example, they're going to expand mail-in ballots. Jesse Waters had this to say about mail-in ballots. Listen.
There might not be lockdowns this time, but mail-in voting will still be a huge factor. 8 states are mailing ballots to every registered voter on the rolls, even if they didn't ask for one. It's a harvester's dream. Ballots will be floating around the street, the floors, the garbage, the mailboxes. Wandas and Craigs will be rummaging everywhere and intimidating you if you don't hand it over. The voter rolls are a mess, too. Johnny's grandma and great-grandma should not be getting ballots in the mail. Sadly, they died years ago. In Michigan, a conservative group is suing the state, claiming there's 26,000 dead people on the voter rolls. Michigan mailed every registered voter a ballot application in 2020. That's over 7 million people. The Secretary of State tried to get the case thrown out. Biden judge denied him. We'll keep you updated. But is Michigan going to be sending ballots to dead people? Meanwhile, Wanda the Stuffer still walking the streets in Bridgeport. And Craig, who between stuffing ballots, moonlighting for the FBI, is out in Atlantic City. Johnny, just talk to him.
Craig, but you know that's not right.
What's not right?
Rigging elections and using fraudulent ballots. People say you've...
I have no comment. I would appreciate it if you get up and move away from me. Get out my face. So I have to lay one of you bastards down.
Primetime's going to keep covering voter fraud and sloppy elections until every real vote is counted and every stuffer's behind bars. If you have a tip, text us, #fraud. Mail-ins are here to stay. It's written in the law. Democrats have embraced it. They'll abuse it to win. Republicans need to fight fire with fire. Legally, of course. The only way to win is beating Democrats at their mail-in game. Once you're in power, secure the elections. No more drop boxes, no more mass mail-outs, and cameras at every single vote-counting station.
You know, not good. Not good enough, because we had, 2,000 mules, and that was a movie where you saw a lot of people, a lot of video of people stuffing ballots, and we were all sure that something good would happen from that movie, because, I mean, it was right in front of your eyes. It was video that was not produced by a specific party. They got it from security cameras and things like that, and you saw them stuffing the ballots, and it didn't mean anything. And, Bill, for every one person that they put in jail for voter fraud, I'll bet you there are 100 people out there who do it and get away with it. You know, it's maybe more. Maybe that's an underestimate estimation. So it's interesting. We have the election is starting to shape up. It's going to be Biden and Trump. Nikki Haley this morning is said to be announcing her departure from the primary election, which means it'll be Trump. And I think Trump is ready for it. I don't think Biden is. I don't know how Biden is going to stand up to Trump. I mean, Biden is having a difficult time preparing for the State of the Union speech. Apparently, it's going to be the latest that it's ever been in the year. Usually, it's done way before. When is it going to be? Is it this week that he does the State of the Union?
I thought it should have happened a long time ago, and I thought he just wasn't going to do it.
Yeah.
And I think the question is not really him, but how are they going to, you know, make it to where, you know, now I wouldn't be surprised if they come up with a security reason that he has to do this
from the Oval Office.
From the Oval Office and nobody there. And then I wouldn't be surprised. Be videotaped. And I wouldn't even be surprised if it wouldn't be a very damn good computer AI where he just doesn't make any mistakes and is articulate as hell.
Well, you know one thing, they can do that nowadays. People don't realize that, but it can be done. They can make it look...
All the people could be in the chamber. We've had security threats. He is going to have to do it on the big screen.
Yeah.
He will be at his desk. So he is here on the premises, and then he can come out and do the courtesy wave afterwards with a security glass there and everything is secure.
Did you see the article yesterday about his eyes?
He's got those drop-dead black eyes, which, you know, think about it now. You always see him with the aviator glasses.
All the time,
And he's been doing that for years. They have the, and it's, you got to wonder.
Yes, you do. I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, I don't want to get into any conspiracy thing, but, you know, you sit there.
Is it real or is it Memorex?
Is it Memorex, you know? I mean,
if you look at the picture, Bill, they're deep black eyes. I'm talking about the center of the eyes, black. And you wonder, I mean, I don't ever remember seeing anybody with eyes like that. I mean, they are soulless eyes, okay?
Well, you know, the people that have soulless eyes are on meth or tripped out on cocaine.
Well, you know, they say he may be on medication. Yeah, they say he may be on medication.
And you know, when you sit there and see him walking, you know, the stiff leg walk is like a toddler that's got a diaper full. And
I think that's an interesting but apropos description. He does kind of look like he walks like a robot. He walks, it's not a natural gait. I've had people say to me, God, do you think that's a robot? Could they build a machine to do that? Could that be a machine? Because it doesn't look like a natural gait. When you see him walking out to the helicopter and he throws that mechanical wave and he continues along the way, it almost looks like it was something that was made by Boston Robotics.
How do you know that he doesn't have some kind of apparatus under his clothes? They're a little baggier these days, but still thin. because he would be just bones now. And he could be a bionicle life support.
Do you see him doing debates with Trump, Bill?
I don't think that'll ever happen. If it does, again, it will be like I just said the State of the Union would be, where he will, security reasons, we can't be there, you know, because we've had threats from the MAGA.
That's right. Yeah. No, that's true. You know, I mean, those nasty MAGA people who have who've shown themselves time and time again to be average American people. But then again,
I will say this. I mean, I don't know that it's MAGA people, but every once in a while they say, well, we got threatening letters from these MAGA people that are very, like Fani. She goes, look at all these racist letters where they're really deep and dark and drop the N-bomb and everything else. Maybe those are real, maybe they're not, but that doesn't represent the party. And if you are a conservative, but you are a racist, refrain from sending that kind of stuff and doing that, because you are not helping anybody, and let alone yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so if that's, you know, I don't care how mad you get and you get irate, and sometimes, you know, in the heat of a discussion, you say things that you go, oh, I shouldn't have never said that. You know what? You shouldn't have. You shouldn't have even thought the racist things, but just don't do it. Don't.
Okay.
Is the thing I say.
Another little piece of news that I think we should mention on the program today. There's been a new Russian offensive. It's gaining a lot of ground in the Ukraine, but the media, surprisingly, the media is avoiding it. They're not talking about it.
Of course not.
And it's kind of like a blitzkrieg kind of a maneuver. If you're saying blitzkrieg, that sounds familiar. Well, that means you're young. Blitzkrieg was something that the Germans did during World War II. It was a rapid advancement, a rapid nonstop. They didn't just move and then stop and then regroup and then move and then stop. They continued the process from one place to another. And in the beginning of World War II, it was very successful. Well, apparently the Russians have taken a page out of the German playbook, and they're really making some serious advancements. And again, they're talking about how the Ukrainians are they're stuck with very thin defensive lines. I mean, like a narrow trench and a few guys in the trench. They don't have the manpower that they need to win the war.
Right.
That's why
Russia does,
and that's why they're talking. That's why you're hearing more and more NATO saying, well, maybe we should send in our troops. It's World War III.
Well, we've got troops with NATO that's really on the border right now. They're training over there, and there are U.S. boots on the ground there with that NATO group that's training.
20,000 troops, Bill, in Finland, which is right next to Russia.
Yeah. Oh, that's an easy traipse over the line. And, you know, the troops are from Finland and Sweden, and of course, we have U.S. people there too. They call them probably advisors.
Yeah,
I know of one. I know of one soul that's over there. He's actually over in the Ukraine side, but he's American, and he's there for American purposes. And I'm like, going, what the hell is he doing there? I didn't think we had, you know, feet on the ground anywhere around there, but I guess we do.
Yep. Well, it's getting closer, but the media is not really talking about it. You know, we hear things about, and it drives me nuts when I hear this. We hear people talking about how we should get out of Gaza. Get out of Gaza. I mean, not we. Israel should get out of Gaza. That it's an unjust war and all of these different things. You know, we are playing both sides of the fence. We are supporting Israel and we're supporting Hamas. We're throwing. Do you know, I heard that we're dumping a ton, not literally, we're dumping tons of food into Gaza. We're dropping them on pallets into the country, and supposedly like 85% of the food is being scoffed up by Hamas. It's not getting to the people. It's being taken for the army, you know, and no one's talking about that. No one is saying a word. It's always the big bad Israelis that are the problem here. They seem to have forgotten that the attack on the innocent civilians at the music festival in October was started by Hamas. But that's like ancient history. But they don't talk. The same people who complain about the people who have been who have died, unfortunately, in the Middle East, they don't talk at all about the Ukraine. They don't talk about the hundreds of thousands of dead people in the Ukraine. Hundreds of thousands. If they've lost 30,000 people in the Middle East, they've lost 300,000 or more in the Ukraine, and these same people don't talk about that war. It's like, well, that never really happened. And, you know, there have been tens of thousands of people who've been murdered in Syria and other Middle Eastern countries. You hear nothing about them. The left is very selective about their protests. Do you know? They pick and choose who they're going to support, and they're not consistent. I mean, if they really were against war and innocent people dying, they would be against innocent people dying around the world, not just in one selected area. But no, they're focused on one area, and that's it. You don't see the flags of the Ukraine anymore. You know, if you notice that, we don't see the Ukrainian flag being waved at demonstrations. We see the Palestinian flag. We see the Gaza flag being waved in these demonstrations. And what we don't know in a lot of these demonstrations is how many of these people. We know that a lot of them are students who are not paying attention to what's really going on, but we don't know how many of them are illegals who have moved into the country, and they're here for that reason, to demonstrate and raise hell. Biden has put our country in a very tenuous position internally. We are, and I heard this yesterday, Bill, I heard somebody say, well, Elon Musk said it too, we are set up for a major attack. He said that will make 9/11 look like it'll pale in comparison. It will pale in comparison to this new attack. He thinks we're going to get hammered, and it's not too far down the road. And that's a scary thought, and Biden has put us in this situation. And isn't that treason? By allowing these people into this country, by allowing them to come here and to be in our backyards, hasn't he committed an act of treason for us to be considering him for president again?
Well, right. It is an act of treason, and that is what people are doing now since they heard about the, well, they were reacting to 37,000 people, not 325,000. So 325,000 is an egregious act of treason by Biden. And, you know, but what's the left going to do about it? They're going to overlook it. Had it been the other way around and that was Trump, I mean, there would be hearings and trials and, you know, inquisitions and whatnot.
Yeah.
But you know what happened Monday for Trump? You know, it's been a pretty good week for him. I mean, you know,
the decision, the 9-0 decision from the Supreme Court?
Right. That was a good thing. You have what's going on in, what happened yesterday. You have that. Now, of course, in New York, you know, Trump hasn't given any money to E. Jean. He hasn't paid anything, towards the Letitia James thing. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, New York is flipping. New York is flipping big time. You know, will it go Republican? I don't know. But people are hacked off. Real estate values are dropping there.
Yeah.
Big money is getting out of New York. And I was going, okay, so Trump could actually sit there and just say, you know what, you don't touch that building, you don't seize it. I will put it down as collateral until we go through this, and then I'll pony up the money if I have to. But then I'm sitting there going, what is the campaign cost of him running for election in New York? Well, I would say about $550 million, because those are the judgments. Because he probably, with all the stuff that has gone on there, he's not going to have to spend a lot of money to promote there, because Those judgments have paid for it. So all he's got to do is just stay it for a little while and ride the course. And, you know, but what's it going to cost New York in money? Billions.
Yeah.
It's already costing them billions. And when New York wakes up one morning going, wait a minute, that coffee doesn't really smell very good. That is, that's warmed over crap from the Democrats.
Well, they have put themselves in that position. They have allowed themselves to be what they in the position they're in right now. You know, I wanted to make another point. This is an interesting point. You know, have you noticed that there have been a lot of people on the left who have bowed out? Yesterday, Kyrsten Sinema, Democrat, then independent, but she always voted Democrat, even when she was independent. She announced that she's not running again. John Thune, the senator, he's not going to run again. John Thune, a rhino. Who else is? A lot of people are suddenly leaving. You see Michelle Obama. She doesn't want to get involved with the president.
Yeah, no, there's something going on.
I wanted to point this out, too, before I forget. In the background, there's something you've heard referred to as the deep state. You know, and people can poo-poo it, but a lot of people will agree that there's people like Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and the Rothschilds. You've heard the term the Rothschild family? They've been an influence in the world politic for decades, okay? They are supposedly... they are the richest family in the world, Rothschilds, and they have been manipulating. They supposedly built the Knesset in Israel. That's like the Congress in the U.S. They built. Right. He built the Knesset out of the generosity of his heart. He has also he squeezed a lot of people and made a lot of decisions go the way that he wanted them to go by his money. You know, in his power. But Jacob Rothschild passed away in late February, on I guess the 27th of February. He was 87 years old, and a lot of people are thinking, boy, it's kind of strange that a lot of these people are figuratively and literally leaving the world stage. We see a lot of people talking about, all of a sudden, we have the Pope is sick. You know, he's not center stage right now. There's been a lot of people saying he has been part of that movement. A lot of people have said that King Charles is a part of that movement, and now he's stepped aside. So I just thought it was interesting. I'm not going to make any definitive conclusions here. But I did think that a lot of people haven't. I didn't hear about this. It was not talked about that I heard in the news that Jacob Rothschild had passed away. It was like an afterthought story. You know, it wasn't a big story. Don't say much about it. Just let it slip by. Well, it didn't slip by. I bumped into it, and I wanted to point this out to you. There's something going on, I think, Bill. There's something happening behind the scenes in the world. Look at the situation that Trump is in right now. The deep state don't want Trump to be president. They do not want him to be president because he will throw that proverbial monkey wrench into their plans, and they just can't have it anymore. But he is marching forward, and despite what their wishes are, he is succeeding. He's winning. And he has the money to flip them the proverbial fickle finger of fate. And so all of a sudden you start seeing people like, you wonder whether the people on the dark side are starting to, know that the gig is up. Have you noticed, Bill, another thing before I hand it over? I know you have. The other thing is this. Have you noticed the commentators on these liberal networks who have been bashing the right over the last 2.5 years, people like Rachel Maddow and Joe Scarborough and Mika, they have all of a sudden started to say things like, if Trump gets in, he's going to be like a dictator and he's going to punish his adversaries and he's going to put him in jail. And, it's like he doth protest too much, you know? You've heard that term mm-hmm. from Shakespeare. He doth protest too much. I happen to think that maybe they might be more concerned about their hides than the hides of people in general, if you know what I'm saying, that they have something to hide. I just thought that was interesting, and I wanted to point that out before we ran out of time.
Well, it is interesting, and there's a lot that I could say to that. You know, when you talk about Trump having the money, you know, the Democrats like to argue that he doesn't because they're trying to tie up his money. What I said earlier about New York and the cost of winning New York, both out of his pocket and out of their pocket, when you really step back and take a look, I think I'm dead on that. But, you know, I'd take 20 minutes to go through at least a diatribe of what I'm trying to think, so maybe I'll hold that until tomorrow. But, you know, you're talking about all these people stepping back.
Yeah.
You ever sit by the ocean, the tide goes out, or you see the water back up, and then it rolls back up in a wave. You know, the fact that the left is backing off here a little bit here and there, it could be the sign of something, you know, bigger and far more nefarious that is going to come crushing down. And, you know, the analogy I was going to make in Trump, you know what his real asset is besides money?
Personality?
Well, he's got that too. But, you know, one thing that so per se trumps all the money in the world are the people behind you. And that was evident yesterday in Super Tuesday.
Yep.
You know, the people that came out and overwhelmingly voted for this guy, you cannot put a dollar value on that.
I have a question for you.
All right.
Do you think that what happened yesterday, his resounding victory, and what you just said, his demonstration that he has millions of people supporting him, will that affect his court cases?
Well, not immediately. Now, you look at Fani. You know, someone else has come out of the woodwork, an attorney that worked with, well, either way, it's a witness that will come forward in testimony to, I guess, the judge to sit there and say, yeah, you know, these were conversations we had about that illicit affair and everything else going on. And Fani is saying, you know, the evidence doesn't even come close. Well, that's a weird statement. Doesn't come close to what, Fani? Is it far worse than what you're portraying it to be? That, I think, is on the verge of going bye-bye.
Yeah.
The thing that happened on Monday, this is not every ruling, but this is going to possibly get 100 people off the hook, you know, that are on that are sitting in a gulag, or, you know, the January 6th trials.
Yeah.
And, you know, more tapes have been released on that. That thing was, as they say, the proverbial something hitting the fan show.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, it was all their own feces. You know, it's like going to the zoo and watching the orangutans. They're slinging their own stuff.
Well,
don't get close to the cage. Speaking of which, I want to mention one thing here. Letitia James added again. You know, since Trump and the 450 some odd million ruling, she's gone after the biggest beef supplier. She's gone after another company. We mentioned it the other day. Now she is going after Yellowstone. Now they're a lending company. And she's going after them for $1.4 billion. Now, is she going to help the people that got loans? Hell no. It's not about that. No, that this is all she wants to, you know, she lost her election thing. And then she goes, well, I'm the attorney general. I'm just going to get even with anybody and everything, and I'm doing it this way, and I'm making a name for myself. What is her political agenda? We know what her financial agenda is because she's gotten rich off of this.
Yeah. Well,
no doubt about it. Well, so she's in the news again.
It may backfire. I think it's going to backfire. People are going to I think she's going to be punished for her lawlessness, and I think it is lawlessness. One more thing. I don't know if this is I wanted to end the show with this. There's an iconic photograph that has been center stage.
Yeah. Kissing the girl?
Yeah. There is a picture of a sailor from 1945 on VJ Day, Victory Over Japan Day. He's in Times Square, and you see him doing a an embrace, a passionate embrace of this young nurse, and it became a classic. It was shown in Life magazine, Look magazine. It was shown on front pages around the country. It has become a historic symbol of World War II. Well, an Undersecretary of Health for Operations, Rima Ann Nelson, called for the removal of the iconic VJ Day kiss photo from all VA health facilities because of its depiction of, quote, a non-consensual act, end quote. Well, even those on the left said, oh, wait a second, that classic Alfred Eisenstadt photograph is not to be removed. The, I guess it is the secretary? The secretary? Let me see if I got this right. I want to
make
sure.
How in the hell would she know it was non-consensual?
I was thinking the same thing. But just hours after the wokeness, right, Veterans Affairs Secretary Dennis McDonough took to social media and said, listen, no one touches that picture. Leave it alone. That was not an order issued by me. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said. He slapped her down for this overzealous removal. You know, you would think that she, working in the Veterans Administration, would have her hands full with real issues. But instead, this woke person in the VA was spending her time worried about a non-consensual picture from 72 years ago, 73 years ago. You know, it's mm-hmm. just mind-boggling, 75 years ago. Amazing. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. Even those on the left, when they heard about her decision, cringed, and the secretary
and
said no more.
I mean, I wonder how many pictures like that were around Japan, even though they surrendered. There were soldiers and women in an impassionate, a passionate embrace because it's over. Win or lose, it's done.
And the thing that you said, I thought
how in the hell do they know?
How does she know it's non-consensual?
I'm looking at the picture right now.
It looks consensual
to
me.
I don't see her. Yeah, she looks limp and relaxed.
Yes.
You know, and she's like, okay. The women in the background are all smiling. Oh,
yeah.
You know, and the guys are smiling, looking on. Yeah, it's over. You know, it is that moment of thing. Have you ever sat there and high-fived somebody?
Absolutely.
Or, you know, celebrating New Year's, a party like that?
Yeah.
You know, hey, there's the mistletoe. You know, you might have kissed a stranger at that point in time. You didn't have a wife or a girlfriend, you know, so, okay, and neither did she. All right, simple kiss, bingo. It's over. It is, you know.
But the left just, they're so caught up in their own I don't know, philosophy, their own, they just can't stand the idea that...
The smell of themselves, yeah. And it's not daisies. I mean, put it that way.
Think about it, friends. This has been a historic picture. Pretty soon, they will look back at pictures from the Civil War and have complaints about that, too.
Well, they had complaints about statues.
Yeah, I know, that's true. They tore them down. Hey, my friend, we've done it. Another show in the can. If you want to contact us, our number is 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com, mail at jimandbill.com, and jimandbill@mail.com. Until we meet again, my friend, hasta la vista, baby, we're out of here.
This is CRN America.